Well, it seems as though there's a sweet spirit here tonight. Amen. It's been sweet. It's been good. I appreciate every bit of it. Dr. Green preached there, and what a blessing that was. It reminded me a couple of weeks ago we had a missionary come in that was reporting back. We've supported them for 14, 15 years. And they came back and made a report from Canada. And they had spent about 20 years there in Canada. And, you know, sometimes when missionaries come back, if they want to continue to get support, they bring the pastor a present. You know, something from the field, okay? So I waited upon that, and sure enough, he brought me a can of maple syrup. And I said, well, that looks good. We'll enjoy that. He said, you've never had maple syrup. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah, I like it. It's, you know, he said, no. He said, this came from Canada. This came from real maple trees. He said, you're going to notice a difference in this. And I said, okay. And sure enough, I opened that can and began to pour it out, and it came out so rich. And the aroma of it was just great. And the color of it was just so pretty, so smooth and sweet, and had such a flavor. That's what I thought of when Dr. Green preached tonight. And if you didn't enjoy that, you're not getting any of my maple syrup either. So now we move from maple syrup to oil and vinegar dressing that won't be as smooth, but the book is still the book, isn't it? Isn't that good? I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read just three verses that when we begin, you can probably just let your eyes drift. You're going to be able to quote these three verses. It's very familiar, very well known. And we're going to give you tonight five thoughts from these verses. And let's read verse 16, Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. All right, let's pray. Father, how you fed us, God, from the word tonight, from Nehemiah. And God, that book will have more life, God, and Lord, more personality to us now. And God, it'll be a little richer because it's been rightly divided and God correctly given to us. I pray, Lord, now that you'd bless us in these final moments of our evening service. And God, may we leave again with something, God, that will be practical and helpful and instructive to us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I want you to look at the phrase that's found in verse number 16. Simon Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, don't let me get over your head here. They were fishing because they're fishermen. They were casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen, and that's what fishermen do. If you were to come up to them and say, what in the world are you doing? We're casting this net. Well, we see that, but why on earth would you do that? They would look at you kind of weird and say, because that's what fishermen do. That's just what they do. Jesus saw them doing that, And he said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And just as was in their nature to cast that net, as they were fishers of fish, he said, you come follow me, and I'm going to create you to be something different. But you'll still have a nature that you need to do what's natural to you to do. I'm just going to change your nature. I want to preach tonight on this thought. It's just what we do. Okay? We have been changed by the Spirit of God. We may have been whatever before we were saved, but now that we're saved, we're a child of God. We have a new nature. We're Christians. And there's some things that just as a fisherman casts a net, there's some things that Christians just do because they're Christians. They don't have another reason. They don't need another reason. There's just some things we do that's our nature to do. We do it because we're Christians. The first thing I'll mention is this. When we become Christians, it just becomes our nature to tell others about Jesus. That's just what we do. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if I understand that translation right, basically he's saying, as you go into all the world, wherever you go, whatever your travels take you, whatever the leadership of God is in your life, as you go, wherever you go, just take the gospel of Jesus Christ with you and tell people about Christ. Now, sometimes the lost world don't understand that. We see something in nature and it just brings out a thought about the Lord. We see something in business and it just brings out a comparison about the Lord. And people say, why are you just always bringing that up? Because that's what we do. We're just Christians, and it's our nature to talk about our Savior. Just as much as that fella, if he's a fisherman, he's going to be casting a plug, he's going to be casting a lure, he's going to be casting the bait. You go up to him and say, why are you doing that? Because that's what I am. That's who I am. That's what I'm about. I fish. Well, Christians, wherever they go, we just love to tell people about Jesus. Amen. Now, sometimes the world gets offended by that. Sometimes the world doesn't appreciate that. And sometimes, have you ever had anybody tell you, why don't you quit cramming that down people's throat? You ever hear that stupid statement? Why are you trying to cram that down my throat? We're not trying to cram anything down anybody's throat. We just love Jesus. And when way we used to talk about other things, now we just talk about Him. Amen. He's on our mind. He's on our heart. That's just something we do. When the woman left the water pot at the well, she went back and said, come see a man that told me all things. It just become natural. Amen. The maniac of Gadara just went back to his city and said, let me tell you what great things the Lord hath done for me. Now, let me say this. If you do not have the nature to pick up a rod and reel and to gather a box full of old, worn-out-looking lures and get up and 3 o'clock in the morning and drag a boat to the lake. And you say, that's just not me. That's because you're not a fisherman. If you're a fisherman, you don't mind doing that. Now listen to me. If you're a Christian, there's just something about When you see people who need Christ, there's something moves in your heart. Jesus saw the people and his heart was moved. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. We need to let the Lord work in our heart, and if we'll allow it to, it won't be something we have to work up. It'll just be what we are. It'll just be what we do. It'll just come natural. Amen. Now, if you're a Christian, you love the Lord, and you're not one who normally ever shares that with anybody. You're not one who expresses that ever. You're not one who sees any opportunity or need for anything like that. You're fighting against your nature. Because if you're a Christian, we just tell people about Christ. We love it, and it's just our nature. It's not something that is foreign to us. It's not something that embarrasses us. Amen. I was riding down the road tonight, coming to church, and my daughter sent on the telephone, text me a picture of my grandbaby. Amen. 14 months old. Got a wonderful name. His name's Randy. Amen. They call him Little Randy. Now we got two Little Randys. But when I saw that, I didn't feel like that was something that needed to be hid. I didn't feel like that was anything to be embarrassed about. I didn't feel like that was something that would be an inconvenience to share. I said, "Hey, Brother Richard, put your eyes on this little boy." You said, "Preacher, that's just the way grandpas are." That's just the way Christians are. We just like to tell people about Jesus. We like to tell people what the Lord's done for us. Amen. On Wednesday night, we have prayer service. All good fundamental churches have prayer service on Wednesday night. And then there are others that do whatever, you know. But when we stand and sing a song, and before I have prayer, I just say, "Does anybody have a blessing they want to tell us about? Anybody got something God just done this week?" Now, there are some people who have yet ever to raise their hand. Maybe God's never done anything for them. But there are some people, it's just their nature. "Preacher, I want to testify. I want to tell folks what God's done for me." Amen? And you say, "Preacher, I'm just not wired like that." Well, there is such a thing as getting rewired. All right? Now, if you want to be a blessing to the pastor, just become one of those people that have a ready testimony, a ready praise for God. That's just, well, they were fishermen. They were fishing because that's what fishermen do. People witness because that's just what Christians do. Amen. The second thing I've written down here, we develop a love for the Bible. This book becomes special to Christians. We carry it, we read it, we study it, we absorb it, we let it work in our life. Why? Because that's what Christians do. Well, preacher, that's always just been a difficult thing. Well, don't worry about what you don't understand. Don't worry about what is beyond you. If you'll just open it up and start reading it and start absorbing it, it'll begin to work on you. And the Brother Aaron said, quoting Bob Sanders, you know, if you ever find a nugget in there on your own, man, all of a sudden, you become a digger in the Word of God. Amen. It's what we do. Psalms 1:19:48 says, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes." Now, let me say this. If you can go day after day and week after week, and your Bible finds its spiritual location on the dashboard of your car, and it never is taken down, it's never opened up, it's never sought. I don't know what you're doing, but you're fighting back a nature that God put into you, that if you allow it to take over, that book will become a blessing to you. When you see fishermen doing what they do, you know who they are, you know what they are. That's what they do. And God says, if you'll come follow me, I'll give you a new hunger, I'll give you a new thirst, I'll give you something that will guide you and direct you, and you will develop a nature to appreciate the Word of God, to be thankful for it. Amen. At our church, our staff, I encourage those guys, and Aaron and I often, you know, we'd be in the office or something, and someone would say, that's good. Now, they didn't find a hidden hot dog or something. You know, you just kind of leave it alone and let it kind of percolate, you know. And then you go in and say, what'd you see? And now my position, I had a little bit different position. So anytime they came up with something, I always said, oh, I've seen that 1,000 times. And then I'd run in and write it down. Because they wanted to claim originality. We have a young man that sits in Aaron's office now. I won't say he has Aaron's job. He has his own job now. He was working in a bank. And he was working part-time at a church. He was a youth director part-time and also had to work in the bank. And every once in a while, he'll come to me, Brother Aaron, and he'll say, "Preacher, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity just to stay in this Bible." You know what? If he keeps that attitude, God will use that greatly. Amen. I'm just so glad I don't have to go to the bank. I'm just so glad I can concentrate. I'm just so glad I've got the time and the opportunity just to get into this book and soak it up and learn to appreciate it more than I ever have. Well, that's what Christians do. We become addicted to the Word of God. Amen. We become addicted to it. How many of you are addicted to coffee? Liars. I don't have to have it. I just want it. I could quit anytime. I ain't going to. But I've known people now. I've known people that up about 12 or 1, 3 in the afternoon, they spoil my head, and they think, you know, I don't think I've had any caffeine today. There's something that my body is saying you need that I haven't given it. I wonder if we'll ever get to the place that there's something going on inside of us that tells us, you've not spent enough time in the Word of God. You need it. You're neglecting. It's having results. It's having ramifications. There's things going on. Get in the book. Why? Because that's what Christians do. They develop a love for the Word of God. appreciation for the Word of God. The third thing I've written down here is this. We want to go to church. Amen. That's just what Christians do. It's just our nature. It's just a part of who we are and what we're about. We love the habitation of God's house. It's just pleasant. It's right. It fits. It's not something that I have to go outside my nature and demand that I, and discipline and push. No, if I can do what I want to do, I'll be in church. Amen. That's what Christians do. It's just part of us. Amen. That's something the world doesn't understand. It's amazing to me that they can't understand why we want to be in church and they want to be in the bar. They can understand that. Well, why do you go over there Saturday night and get tanked? Well, I don't know. That's just what I've always done, and that's just, you know, what I'm comfortable with, and that's the only thing I know. Well, Jesus said, you come after me, and I'm going to change who you are. Now, you're going to have a nature, but it's not going to be the old nature. You're going to have a desire. You're going to have a longing. But it's not going to be the one you used to have. I'm going to give you a new one. The Bible says in Psalms 22, in verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because that's just what we do. Why are we out here tonight? Because we knew something's going on over there, and we knew the Word of God's going to be preached, and there's just something that when I know that the house of God is active, I want to be there. I think there's something inside of me that wants to make sure nobody gets something I don't get. Amen. I just want to be there. I want to be there. That's just our nature. God produces that in us. Some people have natures to different things. It's not always fishermen and fish, but there's something that the way you're wired, the makeup you have, there's just something, unless you're a couch potato, there's just something that's calling you. When you get saved, I believe the house of God has that nature. I believe there's something about that church bell ringing, amen, that you just say, you know, I don't feel good. It's been 3 nights in a row now already. Ball game's on tonight. The playoffs are going on. There's a lot of things that we could. But get the kids up and let's go. We just got a nature to go to the house of God. There's something drawing about it. There's something satisfying about it. I like it when we pull on the property. I like it when we walk in the church. I like it when the first note's played and it's time to begin the service. Amen. There's just something in Christians. That just turns us on. Amen. Thank God for that. Fourthly, it causes us to be givers. You talk about a change in nature. I think about Simon Peter, early in his ministry, he said, Lord, we've left all to follow thee. What shall we have therefore? But before his ministry was over, he said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. There is a work that the Holy Spirit does in our life that just causes us to do 180 degrees sometimes, and it just produces, we want to be givers. Now, I'm not talking about just financial giving. I'm talking about a lifestyle of giving. Amen. You can't pay off with a tithe and an offering what God talks about in becoming a giving person. You can't do that. It takes more. How many of you has ever known someone that if you go to their house, now normally in my experience, this comes maybe a little bit later in life. I don't know too many young people that are this way, but I know a lot of older people that are this way. You go visit them in their house, and you sit down and talk with them, and when it comes time for you to get up and leave, they start hunting something to give you. It just rubs them the wrong way for you to leave without them giving you something. It may be a pint of apple butter. Amen. It may be a twig off of a flower. You know, you say something complimentary about that flower they've got there. Well, honey, I can give you a start off that. You know what I mean? It may be a piece of pie. It may be something out of the garden. It may be something that somebody's made with their hands. But they just feel like they've not fulfilled their nature if they haven't given you something. And I believe a work of the Holy Spirit in every Christian's life, God wants to produce in us that giving spirit. I want you to have a part. I want to give. I want to share. I want to spread it. I want to be a blessing. And that's just natural to Christians. Now, if you, some of these older people I was talking about, if you want to get them upset with you, you just let them think you don't want their apple butter. And they're going to be upset. They feel as though you're hindering them from expressing their love. Your pastor, I believe Brother Richard, no doubt, about every year or so, I just have to call time out and collect a bunch of stuff that I've been given that I don't need, that somebody else could be blessed with, and just secretly redistribute it. Now, there's a difference in that and regifting. Totally different thing. But it begins to collect, and it begins to, you know, my wife says, I can't dust all this. And pretty soon you got to kind of work it back into the system. If people know you're a golfer, they love to buy you stuff that's connected to golf. Can I tell you something? We don't use that stuff. I'm sorry. Well, preacher, I've given Brother Reynolds 10 of those things you put your initials on with the golf. He don't want it. How many of those you ever got in your life? You're lying. You know, you got that little gold foil you put in there and you put your initial in it, you clamp it down on the golf ball. I don't keep a golf ball long enough for it to need my name on it. Where my golf balls go, I don't want any ID on them. But you know what happens? When someone says, Brother Parker, guess what I got for you? And I look at it and I say, wow! Where did you find that? Because it's not about me getting something. It's about letting people give. Letting people be a blessing. That's just what, that's what Christians do. Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said. What did he say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. For God so loved the world that he gave. And when we become followers of Christ and we allow the Spirit of God to work in our nature, sometimes we drop that former desire to fish, to do this, to do that, to that. And we got a new nature God gives us. The human nature is to get all you can and can all you get. But the divine nature is to be a blessing. Maybe you need to work on that, that having a desire to be a giver. On the radio some time ago, I was listening to talk, some program, and several years ago at Christmas time. And it was a secular program. And someone was asking the psychologist that was the host of the program, why is it that at Christmas time, and they didn't get into the birth of Christ, it, as I said, it was a secular program. But why is it at Christmas time, it seems like people just get nicer. They open the door for you, they say, Merry Christmas. Or if they're at Walmart, they say, Happy Holidays. They just smile more, and it seems like there's just a different atmosphere. And the fellow said, they're learning something, they're exercising something, they're living out something that they don't even realize. Giving makes you happy. And at Christmas time, we're thinking about giving, and it just changes us. That's the way Christians ought to be all the time. I just want to be a giver. Got a missionary in Mexico that we go down there and see often. And several years ago, he said, Pastor, he said, we're just so excited. We got a couple coming on the field that's going to work with us here. And that's going to be two more hands and more help. And boy, we're just excited about it. I said, that's great. And I don't know, it must have been 9 months, 10 months, maybe a year later. When I was talking to him, I said, how's that couple working out? And he said, they're not with us anymore. And I said, well, what's going on? Doctrinal problem? He said, oh, no. Doctrine was perfect. And he said this very quickly. I'm just going to give you the gist of it. He said, preacher, if you're going to survive on the mission field, you've got to learn to be a giver. Because it's going to constantly be required of you. And he said, they came in and said, now we need to set some ground rules. These are the hours that we will not be available. These are the days that we take for personal thing. And begin to lay out all the kind of isolating. And I said to myself then, you won't make it. Because it's just a demand of the ministry. You got to develop a giving heart. Giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of, and pretty soon they fizzled. Because God will not strengthen a selfish heart. But if you'll be a giver, it's amazing the longevity God will give you in the work of God. Become a giver. Lastly, we look for the Savior. That's just what we do. So you people are the weirdest bunch of folk. You walk around like this all the time. Well, kind of. Amen. The Bible says watch. Look with expectancy. If I hear an airplane or a helicopter and I want to locate it, I look up expecting to see something. We need to live our lives that the truth of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is just as real as any appointment that you have written down in your calendar. It's just as real. It's just as sure. All right? Just as positive. I had a fellow come to me that day. I guess it was Monday of last week, I guess. The 15th of April, tax day. And he came to me and he said something about the date on the calendar. And I said, hey, you know, it's 15th of April. And he said, what? I said, it's 15th of April. He said, that's tax day. I said, I know. I wait till the last minute to send mine in because I want it to blend in with all that confusion. I want it to be out there, and I want mine to be on a stack, on a desk that deep, so that when they come to it, they just stamp it okay and go on. All right. But he said, I knew this was coming. And he said, I got to go home. I got to get this in the mail. How hard is it to remember April the 15th? I have a secretary, a GPS, and a wife. I don't need to know anything. One of them's going to remind me, tell me what I need to know. What are you saying, Pastor? The coming of the Lord is real. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to be listening. We need to be expecting. We need to be living in such a way that when someone says, why are you behaving that way? The Lord may come today. We're looking for Him. I had a fellow one time, not too long ago, and I'm closing, not too long ago. He said, that's the problem with you Baptists. You're walking around, looking up at the sky, waiting on some Jew to come floating out of the sky and take you away from all your troubles. Yeah. That's about it. Why do you make decisions on... Because that's what Christians do. The Bible says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You would not think it unusual to go out here and look in the back of some of these pickups if they're out there and see fishing equipment. You would say, well, that guy's a fisherman. They just keep it in their trucks. They have it in the trunk of their cars. They got videos about it. If you can't fish, you can get a video to fish. Because that's just what they do. Well, folks, we need to say, God, I want to get in tune with You. That just as that old nature had demands on me, that old nature directed me, that old nature I followed, that old nature I fulfilled. God, when You called me and said, come follow me, and I left all and followed You, I want You to put into me the nature of a Christian. So that I will, by my nature, not by being browbeat, not by being embarrassed, not by being threatened, not by being made ashamed, but just my nature, I just do what a Christian does. Let's stand with our heads bowed. I believe in my heart that the Holy Spirit directs us and gives us instruction and leadership in her heart. And I don't believe that God has a nature for preachers and another one for deacons and another one for choir people and another one. I'm talking about just our Christian nature. And tonight, if maybe just some time with the Lord would help you to follow and obey that new call, that new nature, that new being, that new identity. If just talking to the Lord would give you some added strength, I want to invite you tonight to come down to the altar and let's pray together and just say, God, my nature's not revealed. My actions have not been too revealing of what you've done in my life. God, forgive me, and God, help me to be that creature of nature that the Holy Spirit would have me to be. As God would speak to her heart and the piano plays, the invitation is yours.